The land regeneration programmes are now non-priority expenditure, which means they're going to face the full force of the cuts which are coming. And against that backdrop, we've got huge changes going on in the housing market. And how many here are owner-occupiers together with us? Okay, well, a large number of your children or people who will follow you won't be. Owner occupation is now falling, has been falling for 3 or 4 years. It's likely to fall even further because of massive inequality in income and wealth and investors buying up the stock. Housing supply is at a post-war low, and we're now beginning to see the beginning of overcrowding again after 30, 40 years of falls. This is a really quite serious set of structural changes that are going on. How many people can see this? This is projected household growth. The red is up to 2031, 2006 is in the blue. I think it's blue, colourblind actually.
You're right.
And what you see is that, in general, areas which have seen big falls in households over the 80s, like Manchester, are going to see very, very big increases. Manchester, the biggest. Maybe 40% growth, 35% growth there, but also, you know, other areas like Stockport and Wigan seeing very substantial growth in households. So we've got growing households numbers, a poorly performing private sector in terms of new build, and a big fall in government expenditure. I don't know how many people can see this, but this is a projection by Oxford Economic Forecasting about the type of labour force that will exist in Manchester in 2015. It's a little bit out of date, but it illustrates the point perfectly. The pink, I think it is, level 4 or 5, if you can see it, is obviously degree level qualification. And you can see that the labour force is projected to generate far more employment for graduates and the labour supply will respond. The top line, though, is those without qualifications at all, and it really hardly falls at all. So what are you going to have in the city of Manchester, if this is remotely right, and I think there's international evidence to suggest it is a horrible polarisation in the labour market. So my question to you will be, we've got massive household growth coming, falling public expenditure, and a very large number of people who cannot buy their way into the market. So what does that mean for Manchester being a cohesive place, being a peaceful place to live in, a place where you can agglomerate without fear? I suggest this is a really massive issue, and it will affect the quality of all of your lives if something doesn't come about to it. So at the end, I might ask you again to make a show of hands about whether you think it's important or not. So the implications, well, how do you get graduates and a good quality labour force to come to a place with inadequate housing? Big question mark. There will be an impact on economic development if we can't right the trends which we've currently got. There will be increasing problems of social cohesion, particularly if there are some groups who feel they really don't get a fair chance of access to housing. That might be called white communities, it could well be Pakistani communities. It will cause problems if we can't address the issues. If you have overcrowding, you have an impact on educational attainment. Overcrowding is starting to increase. It started first in London. There's now evidence of it in Birmingham and Nottingham, and almost certainly Manchester, given the inflow of people that you've had here recently. And one of the biggest impacts on health is depression. And people who live in poor quality housing have a tendency to be depressed. So there will be health costs associated with this if it's not remedied. And there will be neighbourhood management costs as well, particularly as the private rented sector grows, and we all know about how difficult it is to manage that. So my assessment would be, this won't save any money at all. It's a short term. Short term is an oddly worse thought, is to remove housing investment from highly volatile and dynamic cities like Manchester, Salford, Liverpool and Birmingham. So my conclusions were in my letter, which will be posted up on the net quite soon, is that an incoming Prime Minister should review the priority given to housing investment. They won't, but nevertheless they should. Housing supply, now this is a really big issue. We had a discussion about environment, we've had sustainability. The Treasury have brought in apparently to the view of the development industry that the way of getting new housing supply isn't to build on brownfield sites or near the city, it's going to be urban extensions. So just you wait and see what happens next. There's no money to subsidise housing, so we're going to go and let rip on the peripheral green belt. And that is because the building industry is risk averse. It will not come into the inner city without big public subsidy and without the public sector taking the risk. The public sector is no longer going to take the risk because we've reduced the expenditure, we're prepared to pay for it. So the logic is we'll produce more houses in peripheral locations. It's horrendous. That is undermining 25 years of planning policy, sustainability and regeneration. But it's coming. I think the way around that is to think through how in future municipalities, city regions, whatever form of government is available to us, can strike new partnerships with private developers, not to bear their risk, but necessarily to take their risk off them, but also then part of their development profit, so that you can then reinvest in cities and into communities. We desperately need a new model of house building for the inner city, because the private sector, on its own, will not do it. I think finally, the removing the link between housing renewal and the economy is a very, very bad step in British public policy. We've been rebuilding a city like Manchester with some tremendous success, but I remember it from the 80s when I was a student there. And you would see tumbleweed blowing down some streets. It was an appalling story. How has that been turned around? Well, partly by good governance, partly the Manchester Miracle is a product of governance. It's also to do with the fact that government has invested long and deeply in Manchester. The Commonwealth Games, two urban development corporations, Salford Quays and Enterprise Zone, housing market renewal. I know people have different views on that, but it's a very large amount of money. Now, what happens when that supply of funding turns off? We've looked at Cheshire and the proximity of Cheshire to Manchester. How do we know that the market won't take growth somewhere else if you remove the public support for that economic development? It's a big question. I think Manchester's a long way from being the finished article, actually. It's still a very vulnerable city in the European context. Its GDA growth is high by British standards, but it's not high by European standards. It comes way down the list. So I think there's lots of issues here. I just wanted to touch on them further back, actually. I don't think it's important now.
Thank you very much. Thank you.